updates?
The update is about lunch. That there's been a whole lot of work between Doug and Janice in the background adjusting the, what's the official name?
4324, it's the general construction rule.
And that is on the table until next meeting after submission, and then we'll bring that up. So I think that's why we're a little light today.
Yeah.
And looking forward to next meeting, which will hopefully not be light, if that has moved through the moment. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Lots of songs to reference and good thoughts. Happy thoughts to everyone. And I think I'd look forward to spending some other time with the group when we do it over lunch, or a day with the group that's gathered here as well. I think that's all we have. I'd like to, can we move forward and move through the minutes approval for our last meeting? Are there any corrections or requests for revisiting these meetings from last time from the group online? No?
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposition? All right. Let's enter the minutes and move on. Can we revisit, Daphne? We spent a few minutes with us revisiting the walkthrough of the volunteers' background screen.
Right, so I'm glad I pulled up this old agenda here so that we can see, as presented last time, it was here is the current language, and here is the proposed language that we will, we want to propose, or we proposed last time and which was approved. We are waiting to refile, so this now just needs to be refiled in rules and modified. And our plan is we want to wait until after the legislative session, just in case there's any legislative changes to our statute that we need to clarify in the rule, that we can do this rule filing all at one time. And then we will get this language added.
Like a good idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
So eliminate redundancy.
Exactly. And so we don't want to spend time changing this and then have any statute changes that then we need to bring other things. So if this, as it stands, this is the only thing we are going to be changing in the rule when we do open it, but we will bring that forth in the committee when we actually open it up and put forth this language. But so this is the language that we have planned to propose when we do open our 43235.
Excellent. Any more discussion from the group about this? Moving on. Janice, on to you.
My new business?
Big topic, yeah.
My new business, it doesn't require any committee decisions. It's really just an FYI, kind of bring you up to speed on where things are at. And because I know in previous meetings we've talked about the rules and where they are sitting in the process of recodification and updating. So we did meet our department deadline of submitting all the rules for recodification and for rule writer manual compliance by the beginning of last October. So our portion of that was completed and they were all advanced. Our department attorney has had them since then and literally just this week said, okay, I've been looking at them to get them completed for your recodification effort. But now I'm seeing that 380-600, which if you recall is that big rule that we did to sort of consolidate all of our enforcement processes for licensing, that now exists, whereas it didn't at the time that those original rules were filed for recodification to update all the statutory citations. So now they've been given back to us to change any citations that may point to content that's no longer valid due to the activation of that new licensing rule. So they're back on my plate, and I will be prioritizing getting those rules re-updated with the new citations to the new licensing enforcement rule anywhere that it exists in those rules. And then I'm just gonna, you know, do like a final overview of each of those rules and send them back. So we are back in the chain of reviews, and it's a never-ending, very laborious process. So I just wanted to let you know. They haven't been activated because they have been sitting with our attorney for that long and now back in our hands to do those updates. So Hopefully by the next meeting, I will be able to give you the good news that they have all been filed and are ready to go. My fingers are crossed. It's sort of out of our hands. So the only content, I just want to let the committee know, and I don't know that we need a vote on it or anything. I'll leave this up to you to decide. But because there will be content changes, it's non-substantive. It's not gonna. There's not going to be any changes to like content or requirements. So I suspect we can just push that through without a committee review or approval. But if you feel like the committee needs to see that again before we push them through, we can have them ready for the next meeting.
I'm comfortable with that, Dan. Doug, how do you feel about that? I think there's been such significant work and comment by the committee on the substance of the material that I think now that the substance portion is completed, it's just a matter of which item fits in which section occasionally.
Right.
Is that materially true?
Yeah.
Okay. Any comment from the group online about that? Okay, I see shaking heads no, so let's continue with it as it is and bring it back when it's done.
Will do.
And the next two items are yours, and then you and Christy are on. Please, just let's roll.
Yeah, the 4324 that Abe mentioned in the very beginning, the general construction rule, that is another one of the rules that, following the last committee meeting, we had approval to move forward with that rule, and we were simultaneously developing the rule interpretation manual. It is also one of the rules that remained on our attorney's desk for the duration of the time between last meeting and this meeting. So it has not been reviewed or advanced for filing. And it is one of the ones that again also came back to us for re-review and re-analyzing. So I suspect this is the highest of priorities for us, and I am pushing really hard to get that one done first and filed first so that it can move through the process and be made effective as soon as possible. And we are continuing, we're about 90% done on that rule interpretation manual, and it did get backburnered knowing that the rule hasn't even been filed, so it's kind of just sitting for a minute. But by the time the rule goes up for 30-day comment, the interpretation manual will match it. It'll be ready to go so that as soon as the rule is activated, the interpretation manual will be activated with it. And the interpretation manual will be left in draft format for 90 days following the activation of the rule, so that any issues that come up in the enforcement of the rule or in the interpretation of the rule, either feedback from providers or feedback from our staff implementing the rule, we will have that initial 90 days to make any adjustments to the manual before it becomes final. And that is the plan. Any questions on that?
So I know we've been working on 50% criteria, like how to define that in the rule interpretation manual. If we get that figured out, that language, that can just be rolled into the R432-4 language as well without committee, or how does that work?
I think the intent has always been to leave the language in the rule the way it's written and then use the interpretation manual to tell everybody exactly how we interpret that and how we enforce that. Are you saying you want changes to the actual rule content?
Well, I guess it depends what we ultimately come up with, right? Because I think Malcolm was suggesting some changes to terminology or some consolidation of terminology to be aligned with some industry standards. So I suppose if it's just on the interpretation side, I agree with you, but if it's on the rules side, as far as what the rule says, then I think that piece of that would have to come. I'm asking, I guess, if that's what would have to happen.
If it's, my rule of thumb has been, if it's a substantive rule change, it actually changes the substance of the rule and has an impact on providers, we generally want to run it by the committee to make sure all the representation has seen it and feels comfortable with it. Being that this is a construction rule, I don't know if the rest of the committee wants to defer to your judgment on that or if everybody wants to see that. I would leave it up to the committee to make that decision.
And I to get there, and then we can determine what needs to happen.
Okay. Is that the plan,
I think
then?
So. Yep. Can we hold on to it until you've arrived at those I guess definition or material, and then bring it back for
if
well,
needed.
It sounds like we're just holding on to it right now anyway, right?
It's been held at a higher level than us, but
yeah.
But we are now back in possession of it. So if any changes become substantive, we'll bring them back to the committee. If we can manage them in the manual, we won't. How about that?
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Other ideas about that from the group? I can see about four of you. I'll presume Ray and Steve, if you want to make a comment, you'll let us know. Thank you very much. I think this is a massive body of work that's occurring outside, particularly between Doug and Janice and a couple of members of Kelly's team. So I think what we're seeing is an extraordinary amount of work coming forward. And, I think it should be noted.
Thank you.
My
last piece is just good news, happy news. one of the things that happens when we write rules is they go through the whole, you've been well aware of the approval process, through interdepartmental, and then once it leaves our department, it goes up to the Office of Administrative Rules, and then again on to the governor's office before it is actually reviewed and filed for public comment. The level of the administrative rules review generally requires a program. So there's a program they use that compares the existing rule to the draft rule, and it pulls everything, it pulls every single type that has been, everything that's been typed on the new draft, right? And it compares it to the Chicago Manual of Style, which is the state's rule writing expert that we use. I was able to procure a contract with Perfectit and Chicago Manual of Style so that I will now be able to be doing the reviews that Administrative Rules does. So it will significantly reduce the amount of time that Administrative Rules will be looking at our rules once they advance through this cumbersome process of approvals. They should, hopefully, with a little experience and training on my end, the rules should look the way they need to look before they ever go up the chain for reviews moving forward. So I just got that this week, and I will start it on this batch of rules that just came back to me. So, good news. Let's see. 432, okay, 432-45 is the next item, and that's the nurse aid registry. There's been some ongoing legal discussion on this rule. This rule originally came up for recodification review. We were exempted from having to recodify this rule based on the fact that we were looking at the content. We needed to really significantly update the nurse aid registry training requirements to meet the federal requirements, and there was substantive content. In the process of doing that update, we started questioning our authority to even have this rule and enforce it, because it seems to be more of a federal situation that oversees a contract with the state versus a licensing issue. So we're in legal discussions right now to determine whether this rule should be in place and whether we have the authority to have this rule, or if it needs to be something that is managed strictly by the contract with the folks that implement it, because our office doesn't have a lot to do with it except we have the rule that they rely on. So a lot of legal discussion going on behind the scenes. We tried to have that settled before we met today so that I could give you a report on it. It's not there yet. So as soon as we have some answers on that, we'll put it on the agenda for next meeting and give you an update on where we land. Any questions on that? And then my last item is the 432-270, and I'm gonna rely heavily on Christy on this one because she's our expert in assisted living programs, but there's been some concerns brought up with the rule, and we wanted to run it through the committee to make you aware of it, and then if any changes are needed on it, we'll take a vote. So, Christy, I'll have you take it away.
Thanks, Janice. Good morning, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. The current assisted living rule states, and it's in the agenda there, that type 1 and type 2 assisted living facility licensees shall provide each resident with a separate living unit. Two residents may share a unit upon written request of both residents. And the rule goes on to define what unit means, and that is an individual living space, including living and sleeping space, bathroom, and optional kitchen area. It has been brought up that this may be in conflict with current practice and our current construction rules. Specifically, we have some older, usually smaller facilities where resident rooms do not have a bathroom, or they may have a Jack and Jill type bathroom where two rooms share a bathroom. The facilities that don't have an individual or a Jack and Jill bathroom may have a community bathroom located in the facility where all residents utilize that one bathroom. And our construction rules allow for that. They've been approved. But the discussion is, does this rule conflict with construction rules and with rules that are currently in place? Does this rule say that each individual should have their own room unless they agree to share a room? Or does it say that they have their own private space within a shared room? And then the next question is, how does the bathroom situation operate, and is that come into question for those shared bathrooms when this rule defines a unit as individual bathroom space?
Where is this question coming from? Yeah.
It came from the community, and one of our partners, the Ombudsman Program, brought it to our attention that perhaps the way facilities are operating is in conflict with this specific rule.
It came from me. I reached out. I'm Ellie-Ann Sipes. I'm the State Long-Term Care Ombudsman. And a little bit of history and about the interpretation of this rule. The general public will look at this rule and read it as residents of assisted living shall receive their own room. But in practice, we see several assisted living facilities require two unrelated and residents to share rooms. And that's been allowed in practice, as long as they have a separate living space, like a curtain in between two separate bed areas. But when I was reading through and digging through, because I had had some questions, we're seeing increases in facilities trying to force residents to share rooms, I came across the definition of the unit. So that's when I reached out to Christy and was like, wait a second, explain this. So that's a little bit of the history.
So the question is in regards to the word unit and what constitutes in the unit? Like,
yeah,
the bathroom specifically is where it's in conflict.
Well, it just, when you read that, it seems to allude to the fact that each resident gets their private room. not a shared living space with a curtain in between the beds. But yeah, bathroom was the one that was like, wait a second, in those shared rooms, they have a shared bathroom.
I guess I don't read it that way.
And I think if unit wasn't defined, it probably wouldn't be an issue, but the fact that unit defines it, unit is defined, and did you find that definition
right,
in that specific rule?
I guess I would read, maybe it's the word individual, but in my mind that means separate. A separate living space, including living and sleeping space. Like, a unit, this unit is separate from that unit.
Okay, so is the concern that two patients, residents, clients, whatever, without signing something saying I want to be a roommate to this other person, are being put in a given unit and they just put a curtain like they used to be in hospital rooms, but that doesn't happen very often anymore?
Correct.
So there's just a curtain and you've got two people. I'm assuming they're mostly bedridden?
No.
Not necessarily. Okay, and so they can come out and sit on the couch or chair or things like that. But when they're going to sleep, they're...
And we're seeing that, and Christy can maybe speak to this, but we do see this in memory care units. So you get two dementia residents together sharing a shared room. They do have their separate unit, you know, spaces, the separate beds. There's usually a curtain or something.
But one door to the space.
One door to the room. And it's a shared room.
So is it a question of facilities not following this written request aspect? They're going around that or just not doing it, just putting residents together? I mean, that would seem to be the problem for sure if they're not allowing people to choose to be together.
Well, usually from an assisted living standpoint, there's a license, and I'll use the example of the memory care, where they'll have a number of units and then number of beds, which allows for some units to be what's considered shared, which is usually dictated by price point. And so when those individuals, obviously it still has to be, you agree to be with a roommate in that shared space, but I'm trying to interpret the definition of the unit is where the conflict is, because they have their own separate bed, chair, chest of drawers, closet space required. It's a question of shared bathroom is how I see it. Not all, I mean, most of our communities are private, but in memory care, it is somewhat common to have some units as shared units that's marketed and price pointed that way.
And we are seeing an increase specifically with the Medicaid waiver program that allows Medicaid recipients to live in assisted living. We know that it's an issue. There's legislation on the Hill to try to get reimbursement rates up for Medicaid, but we are seeing an increasing trend of facilities saying if you want to live here and be on Medicaid, then you are required, because of the cost point, you are required to have a shared room. So it's this shift of they used to be in it, they've been in a private room, but now because of the low reimbursement rates and other costs involved, they are requiring either an additional cost above and beyond what Medicaid has agreed to pay, or you must move to a shared room.
So just to address the Medicaid issue, Utah's one of the lowest reimbursed states nationally. There's always been a push to do it. They did get an increase, but I think it was $10, very minimum. I don't know if that is, but there is a need for seniors. The amount of individuals on Medicaid has increased, but I don't know if your comment of switching from private to shared is valid, because from my experience overseeing assisted, a lot of those shares have always been Medicaid. There's just more demand for Medicaid. So I think that's where the demand is to have two people, but I don't know if the shift is going from private to Medicaid because of it. It's more, there's just more demand of Medicaid. The only way to accommodate and the reimbursement is to do shared.
I've seen a, and I might have misspoken now that I'm thinking, I've seen a letter that says you are a Medicaid recipient, there, but unfortunately we do not have any private rooms in our building, so therefore, what was it? No, sorry, back up. It said we do not have any shared rooms in our building, therefore in order to stay in the building, you have to now pay a supplemental cost in order to stay in your private room. That's the letter I've been seeing from increasing number of facilities.
Okay. And my question is, were they private pay in a private room and then switched over to Medicaid, and that's what's making this is...
No, okay. This is current New Choices waiver recipients that are saying due to increasing costs, we are now following the typical Medicaid, you know, Medicaid in nursing homes and maybe hospitals, I'm less familiar with hospitals, but Medicaid in nursing homes does not pay for a private room. So they're using that to compare it to assisted living and say, because Medicaid doesn't pay for a private room in nursing homes, you gotta be in a shared room. But we don't have any shared rooms, so therefore you have to pay a supplemental cost. So it is all interconnected, and I don't want to get off topic, especially because I'm a guest here. But the question comes down to this definition of what a unit is. I know historically the definition or the interpretation of advocates like my program or families or residents themselves is, hey, I get a private room. Here's the reg. It's defined in the reg. But facilities are interpreting that differently as just you can be in a shared space as long as you have a private space within that shared room. And I was just, it was the bathroom thing.
Well, if there's any misinterpretation, I think we need to address the rule or the definition, because it's very common practice to have shared units for residents to be able, but knowing that, usually part of the admissions agreement, the consent of a roommate, as well as being in a memory care, all has to take place. So that's known at the beginning. Is there somebody?
Yes, Christy has her hand raised.
Yeah, I think that these are two separate discussions. The rule in and of itself is not a payment issue. I think the question on the rule is, does the language allow double occupancy rooms? And does the language allow shared bathrooms? And I think the payment issue certainly is an issue and Medicaid's an issue, but that's not the issue that this rule is about. I think the question is, does the rule allow for double occupancy rooms, and does the rule allow for multiple people to share one bathroom? Because the department does allow double occupancy rooms, and the department does allow facilities to have multiple bedrooms that all share one community bathroom.
It sounds like, if I could interject, it sounds like we need a subgroup sort of along the lines of the subgroup we had for 4324 to just meet and hash this out. The other thing I can think of is that I am in the middle of working the rule interpretation manual for assisted living. It's the second one that I'm creating. Based on the content, because the content in 4324 for construction omits assisted living facilities, so they have their own construction component built into this rule. So I am mirroring the construction work that we're doing in 4324 in the new manual for 432270, which is assisted livings. Is this something that can be managed through the interpretation manual, or is this something that requires a rule change? I guess that would be my question as to whether or not we want to pose the committee, make a decision today.
It sounds to me like there's a perceived misalignment, and I don't know if that can be handled in the interpretive guideline. Okay. When I read the language that I see here on traditional healthcare construction, it gives me a pretty clear picture of what that space might look like. But I don't know how you.
I agree, and I think Chris is kind of going there too. Do we need to work over the definition, either the definition or what we allow, right? In the rule where it says each shall provide each resident with a separate living unit, that language could be worked over, the definition could be worked over. I think it's got to be a rule change potentially to clear it up.
I don't like touching those rules too much, but this seems like a place where there's...
I mean, it sounds like Don Buxman, you're trying to protect the residents, which is certainly what needs to happen, right? That we're not putting people together that don't want to be together. So I think the intent is correct. Getting rules aligned with maybe how things are practiced or what the state's interest is with regards to residents.
I think so. I agree with that. I think it's a reasonable position to bring a group together to have a conversation about it and propose an alignment strategy.
Okay. And is this an immediate need? Like, if we got to a decision, do we need to file an emergency rule before this committee gets back together to see the content? How do you want to see this work? Or is it something that can wait? May 8th is our next one? May 8th.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
I don't think that there's an immediate urgency from my point of view. This has been there. We are seeing increasing trends, so I see that the trend is only going to continue, but I think we can wait a little bit.
So bring this back to
revisit next time.
Revisit next time and get this group together to talk through.
Okay.
Yeah. Who will be part of that?
I would like to be part of it.
Okay.
I know you're not
on a committee, but input
your voice
may be helpful.
Absolutely.
I think you're representing all the, you know, the residents of these places.
Yeah, I would definitely want to hear from you.
I can participate on that.
Thank you.
And Lee and Christy?
I'm not hearing. I think I heard my name, but I'm not hearing the rest.
So, Christy, I think the discussion in the room, I'm sorry that not everyone could hear that, is that we'll bring a group together, kind of a sort of a subcommittee, and also invite the ombudsman into that conversation to bring some ideas about alignment strategy to the next meeting. And then if we need to create an action plan, we'll do that. Is that reasonable? I don't think we need to move on that as a resolution or as a motion. Is that incorrect? Someone correct me if we need to change that. All right. I think we're fine going forward. Kelly, do you have a meeting?
Yeah, you can assign a subcommittee to discuss without an official motion.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Thank you.
I think that's the whole point of the work of the group is to make sure we can operate the business of healthcare, but it's in a manner that's appropriate, acceptable, and healthful for our, you know, our citizens.
I'll take that on to get to head it up and get it rolling.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. I think that those are our formal business items. We open up for just a moment to additional business each member would like to bring. Can we just go across? Starting with Ray and Steve. Anything there? Okay, Christy, Seraphine.
No comments here.
I don't have anything in addition. Thank you.
Sure. Seraphine, anything from you?
Nothing in addition. I think the only thing that I was trying to process in my mind, as long as we're protecting the residents, right, and taking that into consideration with the construction that might happen while we're working through, you know, refining this rule, is the only thing that was playing in my mind.
I agree, and I think as we listen to that conversation roll here in the room, that felt like a tangible, palpable primary concern. Chris or Corey?
Nothing for me, thank you.
Okay, Jeremy?
No, nothing for me, thank you.
Okay.
I have nothing to add.
Thank you all for this, what appears to be a short meeting. Any other business in the room?
Well, just, I've got a couple of things. As far as the subcommittee that we were just talking about, I think it would be helpful to have Malcolm on that subcommittee, since I think we need somebody from licensing that's reviewing facilities and can bring FGI guidelines and that aspect into it. So
got it.
I would recommend that. My other comment is, next meeting will be the end of my second term, so I'm trying to work on finding a replacement for myself. So, but I'll continue to participate until somebody takes my place.
We'll need to be on the lookout.
Wow. Big shoes to fill.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Then.
Thanks.
I felt everyone breathe out a sigh a little bit there.
Okay, and the other thing I wanted to announce is OBP has recently done a restructure in our things to kind of align the background checks with, you know, like processes. So I know on the DLBC website, you can see the new restructure. So many of you might have been working with Carrie Hamblin as the health program manager, but that has now recently been changed to Cammie Christensen, who's over that. So I just wanted to make that announcement here and let everyone know.
Thank you. Please.
I have a question. I didn't know if it's okay now or if I just ask after, but I just noticed a news story this morning talking about a St. George assisted living home being warned by the state, their licenses and you know, possibly being threatened. And so it's said by the state. So does that refer to this organization?
Yeah. Yes.
Does rules and regs do? Yes. Discipline would follow through with the department licensing. Sad situation.
Yeah. We didn't have a report this time of facilities. Yeah.
I think because it's now public. That was the discussion that it's now on our website, so everybody can go there and just see it themselves. That's when we had Sarah Atherton, I believe, at the last meeting to kind of walk through how to find the information on the website. So everybody can just go there on their own. Unless there's anything, Christy, you wanted to add that about sanctions or?
No, that's correct. Because it's now available on the public website, it's not necessary to put the report together for this committee because it is available on the public website. And the facility in St. George is currently on a conditional license, and the department has issued sanctions to the facility and is conducting additional monitoring during the conditional license period.
That's helpful. I have a request. I wonder if we could tag on our minutes just a note at the bottom that says the report. discuss, I think that's really germane information for all the committee members to come loaded. I know that's, I agree, it's the second thing I go to, I read the minutes, then I go and take a look at that and see if there's anything we need to talk about immediately or be prepared for what a healthy discussion with the ombudsman's office or, you know, or a community advocate. I think it's really helpful information. Is that a reasonable request?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Well, with that, I think we're at the place where we can entertain a moment to motion adjourn. I'll move that we adjourn the meeting. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
All right. Happy Valentine's Day, all. We'll adjourn the meeting now. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.